Yo Pods, check out Meet Mitch and Leewood for award-winning barbecue, outstanding atmosphere, and your destination to watch all your favorite March Madness action. Tailgating for opening day? Place your order online and pick up on way to the game. Meet Mitch Barbecue, East 95th and Mission in Ranch Martin or Shopping Center.
Welcome back to the Border Patrol on Sports Radio 810 WHB. We have Adam Teicher from ESPN on the show to talk about the Chiefs. Good morning, Adam. How are you?
Good, Stephen. How are you guys doing today?
Doing well. We've been talking about Sammy Watkins a little bit here and there, and we played the clip earlier where you asked the question about the World War III comments in the off season, and I do think that, well, everyone thought he had a lot of different interesting comments. But again, I go back to Sammy Watkins. Although he maybe has not put up the numbers in the regular season that people have wanted, you could not have asked anything more from him in the two postseasons for the Chiefs. He's been terrific, and here he is back with taking a pay cut to stay in Kansas City to hopefully help the Chiefs on another long postseason run. What do you make of Sammy Watkins, especially after hearing him speak yesterday via Zoom?
Yeah, I mean, he seems to be in a good place right now, as opposed to maybe where he was, you know, when he talked to Bleacher Report a few months ago, because he seems to be okay with everything that's going on. And I've always found him, since he's been with the Chiefs, I've always found Sammy Watkins to be very refreshing. I mean, I feel like he says what's on his mind, and it's not always the politically correct stuff. And, he said yesterday that, you know, he's made enough money now, you know, and he can afford to take a contract that's maybe more incentive based than salary based. So, it's all, you know, I find that kind of stuff very refreshing. So, and I know the Chiefs wanted him back very badly. And, you know, Brett Veach was great talking about him after the AFC Championship game last year. You remember Watkins had the big game and caught the long touchdown that to put the game out of reach. And Veach basically said, we didn't sign Sammy Watkins for the regular season. We're good enough in the regular season. We need him to be big in these games to get us over the hump. And I thought that was great honesty on his part, too. And it's proved to be true. I mean, do the Chiefs, you know, they probably have enough to beat Tennessee without him last year, but do they win the Super Bowl without the big catch he made against Richard Sherman in the fourth quarter to set up the go-ahead touchdown? So, he does have a place on this team, and you can tell from the Chiefs' actions, forget about their words, that they really wanted him around.
Well, and it also says something about the perspective. I thought it was interesting listening to him talk about the fact that he's been other places and he knows what it's like to play on a team all year that's not winning games. I mean, I think that for some guys, like, I thought about that with Chris Jones a lot. He's only known this organization, and it's maybe harder to understand the value of what it's like to go through an entire season playing meaningful football as opposed to going through an entire six-month season when your team is not winning games. And Sammy Watkins had that perspective, and he decided, you know what, it's worth a little bit just to be in a situation like this with the Chiefs.
Yeah, there's no doubt. Being with another team gives you some perspective that you just can't have otherwise. And, I do think that's a valuable thing. And as far as Watkins goes, he's probably going to have to choose, or maybe he already has chosen. You know, if he wants huge numbers and he wants to win in Kansas City, he's probably not going to get both of those things. Mm-hmm. You know, he's probably only going to get one of those things. And, I feel like, you know, the numbers are never going to be there for him. He's just not the consistent down-after-down guy that Travis Kelce is or Tyreek Hill is. Maybe Clyde Edwards-Helaire will be for the Chiefs. So, maybe even Mecole Hardman. We'll have to see where he fits in. So I just feel like it's never going to be there unless a bunch of guys get hurt or some things otherwise change for the Chiefs, for Sammy Watkins, the way it possibly could the other place. So he's going to have to be happy with that winning part of it, because I don't know the other piece is going to be there for him.
So what are your expectations for Mecole Hardman, because a lot of people feel like he's going to take a big step forward this season. And if he does, it becomes an even bigger part of the offense. That's fewer catches to go around. And Clyde Edwards-Helaire is a tremendous receiver out of the backfield. He could take away some catches. And look, it's a great, it's an awesome problem to have. And you would think, because this comes along with winning, they won a Super Bowl, that may keep everyone focused. Like, hey, look, you know, it's one thing if this happened and you were fighting with catches on a 7 or 8 win team, but you won a Super Bowl. The proof's in the pudding, and so you know that the formula works. But how do you think Mecole Hardman, in his second year, and Clyde Edwards-Helaire as a rookie, will affect the offense and the ball distribution?
Yeah, well, they'll get their pieces of the pie, and Hardman's will be bigger, I would assume, than last year, and Clyde Edwards-Helaire will be bigger than what the running backs took for most of last year. So there's going to maybe be less for everybody. I don't know. We'll see how the Chiefs make it work, but you're right. It's a good problem to have. As far as Hardman goes, he was so productive in his playing time last year that you got to give him more. You got to see if you can get more than, you know, 20-some catches, and you know, the 8 touchdowns were great, but maybe he can bump that number up some too. So, you know, the big plays compared to his playing time were obviously there. You know, so that maybe is a place the Chiefs can grow their offense some. You know, Edwards-Helaire is another area where maybe they can grow their offense some, getting something out of that. So there's only so much to go around, and I don't see Sammy Watkins being the guy who you know, takes a step forward in that department this year. Maybe Hardman a little bit, maybe Edwards-Helaire over the running backs from last year. You know, and I think that you know, with Hill and Kelce fighting for theirs, I think that it's going to be tough for Sammy Watkins to be a consistently productive player for the Chiefs. But it doesn't mean he's not helping them win.
Okay, Adam, let's talk more about Clyde Edwards-Helaire then, because I know that one of your favorite things about me is my tendency to overhype and get overexcited about young players coming in.
I call it your cockiness. we can differ on the terminology.
That's right. That's right. We established that last week. My cockiness is Adam Teicher's favorite thing about me. Louis Riddick, who clearly talks to people within the Chiefs organization on a consistent basis. He was, of course, out front hyping Patrick Mahomes before he ever really played any meaningful snaps for the Chiefs. He tweeted this out last night. Chiefs running back Clyde Edwards-Helaire should be the first overall pick in fantasy drafts this season. I have had some success with taking rookie running backs first overall in the draft in the past at Saquon, peace sign. So I can't overhype him more than Louis Riddick, can I? If he's saying that Clyde Edwards-Helaire should be the first overall pick in fantasy drafts, what say you, Adam Teicher?
No, you know, you're right about Louis Riddick. I mean, he used to work with Andy Reid with the Eagles. He worked with Brett Feach, so he knows those guys really well. And, you know, he hadn't been wrong about a lot of this stuff. So, you know, the Chiefs are obviously excited about it and are telling him about it. And I think there's, you know, I there's a part of me that wants to wait here a little bit and say it's tough for rookies. And I think maybe it's tough for all rookies, not just Clyde Edwards-Helaire. And I think we all tend to give winning teams, Super Bowl winning teams, the benefit of every doubt. And I think it's those kind of rose-colored glasses that maybe everybody's put on and looked at Clyde Edwards-Helaire and said, wow, talented guy playing with Pat Mahomes. Andy Reid will make sure that he designs some stuff to get him ball a lot. And everybody's sort of adding that up and thinking, wow, this is going to be big. And I think it has that potential for sure. But I'm not ready to get on that bandwagon that it's just going to be a monster rookie year for him right away. I do think that it'll be tough for all rookies, so we'll see. But, I think the possibilities are there. And you know that's what Louis Riddick is hearing from his people here in Kansas City, that they're pretty excited about where this is going with Edwards-Helaire.
We have Adam Teicher on the line. And DeAndre Washington was, well, that was a nice signing in the offseason, and they still have, you know, Darrell Williams and Darwin Thompson from last year's roster. And so it's amazing that they were able to do this thinking they were still going to have Damian Williams. And so they left them in a pretty reasonable situation. But what about DeAndre Washington? I feel like a lot of people forgot he was even signed there for a while. But now he could end up playing a key role if he ends up being the backup or one of the guys that that comes in relief of Clyde Edwards-Helaire, or if something happens to the rookie. That's a guy at least that has had some good experience in the NFL and offers a veteran to the depth chart.
Yeah, I feel like if something does happen to Edwards-Helaire, an injury or whatever, and he can't be the lead featured back or is out of the lineup for a period of time, I think DeAndre Washington maybe gives the Chiefs more upside, the most upside of any of their other running backs right now. So, yeah, I think that signing, particularly in light of Damian Williams opting out, is really looking good for the Chiefs. But, you know, you wonder a little bit. I mean, he's never done it over a long period of time. And for running backs, more than any other position in the game, it's one thing to do it at running back for a short period of time. It's another to do it over a long period of time. And you find very few backs who can do it for more than a season or whatever, two seasons. I mean, you can find very few backs that can handle that. That's a really difficult position to play physically. The demands are really a lot, and that's why you see running backs wearing out so quickly. So, you know, let's see whether he could handle it if the Chiefs need him for a long period of time. But I do think there is some upside there, and I think that might be the Chiefs' best way to go when they're resting Edwards-Helaire, or when they're if there's an injury or some reason Edwards-Helaire can't play.
Hey Adam, the season for the Kansas City Chiefs actually starts a month from today, and against the Texans. Yep. And over the weekend, I know that Andy Reid talked about a couple of the guys on the PUP list to start the season, and Juan Thornhill being a big one because he was really coming on as a player before that late season injury. How do you see the timeline playing out for him through this month leading up to the regular season?
Yeah, well, it really hasn't even been 8 full months since he had the injury. So this is pretty ambitious for him to be back out there right away. So it's not really surprising in that light. I know he was kind of active on social media during the off season, sort of hinting that it might happen. But I just felt like that was very ambitious, and the Chiefs aren't going to risk him and throw him out there any earlier than they feel like he's completely ready, because there's no sense in having his season end this soon. So, I feel like, you know, once you start getting to 9 months, then maybe you're looking at a guy who can start maybe getting involved a little bit. So maybe another right around maybe the time the regular season starts or a little after would be, I think, a reasonable time frame. But there's no reason for the Chiefs to rush him. I mean, if you want him as a true factor down the stretch, probably better to go slow. So, you know, as far as when he could play, it's hard to say. But, you know, I feel like 9 months might be a pretty good, time for him to start to get involved. And that would be at the end of September.
Adam, good talking to you. We'll talk football with you next week.
Absolutely, guys. Talk to you then.
It's Adam Teicher from ESPN. I've got a few things I want to check off the list here before we close this segment out. One other NFL note, there was a trade in the NFL over the weekend. The Detroit Lions traded with the Patriots because they like to trade with each other. The Lions traded cornerback Michael Jackson to the New England Patriots, and yes, the Lions told him to beat it, but the trade was not a thriller, although it was somewhat off the wall. There, got that off my chest now, because they traded cornerback Michael Jackson.
They told him to beat it.
Patriots. I literally just said that.
Mm-hmm.
Did you not hear me say that?
I did.
Oh. I just wanted to see how on brand that was. You didn't hear me say it, did you?
I did.
I don't believe you.
Don't know what to tell you.
Jake, did he not? He didn't hear me say that, did he?
I think he did. He was listening. I think he just repeated it. Wow. Not a whole lot of places you can go with Michael Jackson jokes. On the air.
I think there are. There's a few places we can go with this, but we're not gonna. Also, I kind of want to hear the song now. Jake, give me your thoughts on the PGA Championship. How did you enjoy watching the PGA Championship over the weekend?
Oh, an unbelievable tournament. Weird circumstances. No galleries for a major championship is weird to see. But man, the golf was awesome. There was a point in time that you're heading into the last nine holes, and you had seven people tied at 10 under. That was awesome. And then you had guys driving the greens on par fours. Guys, chipping in. It was just an awesome tournament. And to watch the young Colin Morikawa. That was a blast to watch. 23-year-old, he was had ice water run through his veins, and when he hit that drive on 16, where he made that par four look like a par three, driving the green and then put
shot of his life,
put it in for an eagle. It was unbelievable. It was a lot of fun watching that golf yesterday. A lot of young talent out there, and it's hard not to. I mean, we get everybody, every young golfer automatically gets compared to Tiger Woods. That's just what we do, right? That's just he's one of the best golfers ever, and he's been in a generational type golfer for this era. And I mean, that's 23-year-old young stud. Just it's hard not to compare him to Tiger Woods. I mean, he's a budding star, and I think we're gonna see and hear a lot about this young man. So it was a lot of fun.
Drives, one of the greatest drives you'll ever see in a major.
I think it's probably the greatest drive I've ever seen in a major. I honestly can't think of a better drive, a bigger drive that put.
Think of a better one right now.
I can't. It's impossible for me to.
Nate, what about you? Could you think of a better one that you've seen in the majors?
I can't think of a better drive I've ever seen in the majors.
Can you think of a drive that you've seen in the majors?
Not necessarily, but I like the hot mic on the putting green. Who was it that dropped it? You got to be blank and kidding me after he missed a putt.
Actually, Derek Lewis showed up at the golf course for some reason and started cursing with no idea. He wasn't even involved, and I don't know why he was there. But
I think it's Justin Thomas.
I liked it too. Yeah,
it was great, and everybody.
That's real emotion.
Everybody that's ever golfed is like, yep. I can. I've said that one on the golf course a couple times.
Me getting out of bed in the morning. That was also, I liked when he almost broke the trophy afterwards when he hoisted it.
Oh, it's hilarious. The top came right off. It's like, yep, that's 2020. Yeah.
I was watching, I was like, because even when he lifted it up, and I promise you, I wonder what happened if he dropped it. I like those moments, and he handled it so well. His smile, you get one of those smiles that lights up a room. But
yeah,
after that, he looked like a little kid that just got in trouble. Like, he was mortified that he thought he damaged the trophy.
And they talk about that's the heaviest trophy on tour, and called the Watermaker, and it's like, you can
do
tell.
That up there.
It's huge.
Yeah, it's giant, but you can tell he lifted up, like, oh, and then it's like kind of lost his balance, and the top came right off. Oh, it's like that'll be a meme for the rest of his life. It's
yeah,
like,
he seems pretty likable.
Is a perfect meme for 2020.
No kidding. But that was fun to watch down the stretch. And so we will tell us who we're gonna have next in the studio, Mr. Bucati.
Well, we got a little celebration on 8:10. Some of our great partners, like Joe's Kansas City, have been helping us celebrate.
Happy 8:10 day!
Yeah, baby. And to celebrate, we're coming up on the fall very quickly. So to celebrate all that with the 810, we have our buddy Davey Colgan from Boulevard Beer and a collaboration with Minsky's Pizza coming up next.
Wow.
Mm. Two Kansas City classics right there.
A very delicious segment coming up next right here on Sports Radio 810 WHB.